This is the Fantasy Fast Track with Brandon Funston and Brad Evans.
Ready, set, go! This is a Fantasy Fast Track podcast. I'm Brad the Big Noise Evans. He is Senior Fun Buns Brandon Funston from The Athletic. And let's go ahead and dive in. It's week 14. Nervous Nellies abound, Fun Buns, because this is the final week for 99.9% of the fantasy football playing community. Really, it should be 100% of the regular season. So for a lot of people, it's do or die time. Got a win to get into the second season. Some of you have already punched your playoff ticket. Congratulations on that. And if you're out of the action, hey, there's always next year, or there's always DFS and sports betting, right? So let's go in and dive in with our boldest predictions here for week 14. I'll start with one, and I know you're going to disagree with me on this one. Pending, and really it doesn't matter if Tony Pollard is active or not, we were just talking before we decided to hit the record button on this podcast, Pollard with that torn plantar fascia, and in a partially torn plantar fascia, which is the worst kind, because if it was fully torn, he could play through it without any severe pain, but the pain is many times intolerable. And remember, Taysom Hill missed a couple of games of an exact same injury. But we'll see if Pollard can go. More than likely, he will not be able to play. And even if Zeke were to get, you know, 15 to 18 total touches, I still think he finishes outside the top 30 among the running back position. In other words, he is a boom or bust touchdown candidate against the Fighting Footballs. So allowed the third fewest fantasy points to the running back position. And you look at Zeke, too. He's also been hobbled by that knee. He said he's 3 to 4 weeks away from being right. He's been under 52 rush yards now in six consecutive games. He's boosted the bottom line. I know you're going to point this out in the pass game, but RB33 in yak per attempt over the last six games in the Fighting Footballs. Again, like I said, third fewest fantasy points. No running back has hit 75 yards against him on the ground. They're giving up just 3.58 yards per carry and 60.9 rush yards per game. So am I freaking over Zeke for reasons unknown, or are you starting to come around to my side?
Oh no, this is your week. You decided week 14 was going to be your week for bad RB takes, starting with Dalvin Cook.
Now wait a second. Wait a second about the Dalvin Cook. I said I am entitled to change my opinion when I learn more information. When Schefter tweeted out Dalvin Cook is active and then said he will handle his regular workload, that was it. All bets were off. I made amends in my own mind, and I said, I'm elevating him now into my top 10, and I put him at, like, RB 8 or 9. So, there you go.
Okay,
but I'm good on Zeke, though, outside the top 24. I will not budge there.
Okay, fine. I am going to counter your outside the top 30 by having that and say he will finish as a top 15 running back. That is my bold prediction. Because, you know, in the last 8 weeks, Zeke is behind only Austin Eckler and Leonard Fournette in total catches at the running back position. Oh, and who is his opponent this week? It's a Washington football team that's given up in the last four games 8 catches to Leonard Fournette, 7 catches to Christian McCaffrey, 5 catches to DJ Dallas, and 9 catches to Josh Jacobs. And Ezekiel Elliott, yes, he has the bad knee, but he's been playing on it for a long time. And the 2 weeks before last week, he was the 14th running back and the 18th running back. Both games, he had just 9 carries. I think we're overrating this. Zeke is going to get more touches, which means more good things in the fantasy bottom line. I don't care about yak per attempt. That's not a fantasy number. Catches are. I think he's with Tony Pollard out, I think he has upside of 6+ catches in this one. Give him 14 carries. Washington's numbers against the running back are good, but just go look at the number one running back in each game, not counting Atlanta, where they, you know, fantasy football today doesn't count Cordarrelle Patterson as a running back. Don't count Seattle a couple weeks ago when they had DJ Dallas and Alex Collins in combo. That's not really a real NFL backfield. So you can score against this Washington football team, especially if you're the lead guy. And maybe the only guy. We'll see how much Corey Clement we see if Tony Pollard is out, but I think we're going to see more of Zeke Elliott.
All right, so just to kind of give you an idea of some of the players I have ranked ahead of Zeke right now, Kareem Hunt, Darrell Williams.
No, you got worse players than that because you're
Dontrell Hilliard.
You don't really have him ranked outside the top 30. Not your real rankings. You're just being bold for the podcast.
I have him exactly at 30 right now.
Okay.
I do. Oh, and I just checked my ranks. I must have done this in a tequila-infused haze because Nathaniel Lundy, who produces our fine program, gifted me a really nice bottle of Campa Veda Extra Añejo. So I cracked that baby open right after a radio show yesterday, Brandon. So it was flowing. I had Dalvin Cook at 5.
Ooh, nice.
So I might have one-upped you. Where'd you have Cook
in your
rankings?
Oh, you definitely one-upped me because I put him at like 10. I just was like, okay. And I didn't even bother to follow the run-up to the game. I was just like, okay, Dalvin Cook's playing. I know this much. I didn't even bother with the progress reports up to game time. I just left him at 10. Uh-huh. Figured that would be good.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, you're a rat bastard for that. You deserve no credit for that. You told people – there's a lot of people like me that probably didn't follow all the way up to game time and just – took your first take and was like, Dalvin Cook.
But I qualified it. So, look, yes, I took out an insurance policy and I cashed in last night on Dalvin Cook. But, again, I'm standing my ground on Zeke. He's going to finish outside the top 30 this week against the Fighting Footballs. And Funston says, oh, hell no. It's going to be top 15. Fade or follow, you decide. With that, let's get to it with another Fantasy Five.
Number 5.
All right, as we always do here on Friday on the program, we throw out player pick'ems. It's a 3-pack of players from each position. You simply tell me, Brandon, who will have the better Week 14 fantasy scoring output? Let's start off at the quarterback position. Here are your options. Taysom Hill in New York to take on the Jets. Russell Wilson, yes, Seattle, yes, you are, yes, Senior Fun Buns against Houston. Or Matthew Stafford at Arizona, who is going to be the strongest road warrior this week out of that thrice?
Oh, it's Taysom Hill. I mean,
really?
Goodness.
Emphatically.
Emphatically. Yeah, he was the last we saw him with, by the way, everybody's talking about this finger injury. He played most of that game with the finger injury last time out, and he finished as quarterback 3. And he threw 4 interceptions, and he didn't rush for a touchdown, but he ran for 100 yards. And he's a decent passing quarterback, decent. I mean, there's problems, but in terms of fantasy, he does pad the bottom line through the air. And it's the New York Jets, and it's, you know, maybe not 100% Alvin Kamara. And that being the case, Taysom Hill is going to basically say, offense, get on my shoulders, I got this. And, you know, I think he's going to be the center of the universe in leading the Saints over the Jets this weekend.
Oh, man, it's really close for me between Taysom Hill and Russell Wilson. It's actually Matthew Stafford 3rd, but I'm going to actually go with your boy, Russell. Russell looked great last week. He looked vintage. That was classic Russell Wilson. Completed 81.1% of his attempts against San Francisco, and now you get hapless Houston? Who's given up, 7.69 pass yards per attempt, 250 pass yards per game, 18 passing touchdowns. I think Russell goes for at least 250. He might have 3 touchdowns through the air and probably boost the bottom line with like 20 to 25 rushing. So it's going to be really close between him and Taysom Hill. If you could guarantee me a Taysom Hill rushing touchdown, I fly the fleur-de-lis. But I think the highest floor of the group is Russell Wilson, shockingly enough. So you and I will agree to disagree here.
Again.
Number 4.
All right, let's move on to the running back position. Here are your options. Kareem Hunt against the Ravens. Melvin Gordon against Detroit with full expectation he's going to play. And A.J. Dillon against my beloved Chicago Bears. And why is this game? Why did he get flexed out? Why are we going to have to watch insufferably Chicago get their brains beat in? Like, I don't get it. But anyway, go
ahead. Especially when there's an afternoon game of Tampa and Buffalo.
Buffalo! Yeah,
like,
flex that into prime time.
Prime time. That's the game that everybody wants to watch. So, yeah, I don't get it either. I'm crying foul on that as well. I'm also going to cry A.J. Dillon on this one. I think it's close. I think your narrative on Kareem Hunt is going to be that they're going to try to use him more in the passing game. But if you think about you think about Cleveland all year long, they've needed help in the passing game. They haven't really done that with Kareem Hunt. I feel like it's a wasted opportunity for them, and that's on their offensive coordinator and Kevin Stefanski. But I'm going to go with A.J. Dillon. He's been hot. I think Green Bay gets a lead against Chicago, and it works out well for both Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. And you got to give Baltimore credit. They've been tough against running backs, and you know, last time they played Cleveland, they shut down that backfield. So, yeah, give me A.J. Dillon.
You know what? I had A.J. Dillon in my Fantasy Flames column. I like A.J. Dillon. I got him projected for 60 combined yards and a touchdown. Just for the sake of playing devil's advocate here, I kind of like Melvin Gordon, too. I think they can have very similar numbers this week. And I got Kareem Hunt in my column as well. I think all these guys line up nearly equally. I think all of them got a really good shot across the chalk, really good shot of eclipsing 50 to 60 combined yards. And if, as for Gordon, you know, 4.22 yards per carry, 107.7 rush yards per game, 18 total touchdowns. That's what Detroit has allowed inside the top five most fantasy points surrendered to the running back position. We have full expectation. You and I talked to Troy Rank at Denver 7, who covers the Broncos, one of the best guys in the beat in the Mile High City. And he said, like, look, it's going to revert back to a full-blown committee with him and Juggernaut Javonte Williams, even though Juggernaut Javonte had that blast-off performance against Kansas City. You know, and Gordon, he is a guy that is kind of a little redheaded stepchild, right? He just doesn't get enough love, enough attention. He's got a TD in four of his last five games. He scored 10-plus fantasy points in six games this season. And I think he's going to tack on there. I think it's going to be 10-plus fantasy points. So, again, I support your Dillon take. But the second option here, I think, is clearly Melvin Gordon. I think it's going to be super tight between the two.
Number three.
All right, let's go to wide receiver. Here are your options in this conundrum. Brandon Ayuk at Cincinnati, Darnell Mooney against the Packers up in northern Wisconsin, or Michael Gallup on the road against the Fighting Footballs. Is he going to have some toe drag swag and enough to convince you to side with him? Who you got here?
Man, this is tough. I mean, if Ayuk had done a little bit of something last week, I'd probably be going Ayuk here. I don't love any of these options. Michael Gallup's tempting, but, you know, he's still probably number three and the number three receiver there. So I'm going to go with Darnell Mooney, who before last game was on an absolute roll, a couple of 120-plus yard games, a game in there where he had two touchdowns. That week 9 game I'm talking about was with Justin Fields. The week 11 game was with partially Justin Fields. So I know Justin Fields probably isn't as good for his upside as Andy Dalton. And I know Jair Alexander is back, but Jair Alexander's been out for a very, very long time. So I don't know that you plug and play him as just a complete shutdown 100% guy that he can be in his first week back. So I'm going to go with the clear top option in his offense in the passing game in Darnell Mooney.
Oh, man, not Darnell Mooney for me. I hope you're right. And the Bears are obviously, they're already down 20-0. Let's be real.
Yeah,
they're going to absolutely
they're
going to get crushed. There's no doubt about it. Justin Fields' player prop, by the way, I think it opened at like 184.5 for pass yards. And I was like, over and thank you.
I mean, no doubt.
Sheer volume alone, he's going to hit it. I hope you're correct with your assessment of Mooney. I'm going giddy up style. Ride it, my pony. And Michael Gallup against Fighting Footballs. I think he finds the end zone. Truth be told, I took a prop on him over 19.5 yards longest catch. You look at the Fighting Footballs, they've given up 36 pass plays to 20-plus yards this season. We know they're top three in most fantasy points allowed to the wide receiver position. We'll see if Amari Cooper's conditioning is up to 100% capacity after his bout with COVID. So for me, it's close between all three of these guys, but I am going to side with the Dallas Cowboy. Yeehaw!
Number two.
All right, moving on. Another group of wide receivers. Jerry Jeudy against Detroit. Van, will he be your man? Mr. Jefferson at Arizona on Monday Night Football. Or Jarvis Landry had a monster game against the Ravens. Is it going to be a replication of that effort from a couple of weeks ago? Who do you got, Brandon?
Yeah, I'm going Jarvis Landry here. I do like that just very, very, very recently we saw him go 6 for 111. I'm just kind of looking at his history against Baltimore. And he's been good for 5 catches in, just the snapshot I'm looking at here. He's been good for 5+ catches in at least 5 straight games against the Ravens. So tight end's out. They're down to just Austin Hooper. They like to go tight end heavy. I think Jarvis Landry fills in that kind of that short and intermediate range that they like to look at for those tight ends. And I think there's probably a little extra volume headed his way, but he had the 10 targets last time. That's plenty to get it done. To me, that's going to be the decider. I will go with Jarvis.
I'm going to go with a guy who scored back-to-back touchdowns in back-to-back games, and that is Van Jefferson. This game's just got so much pew-pew-pew shootout appeal. And I know Arizona's allowed the 11th fewest fantasy points, but again, last 2 games for Jefferson, 17 targets, 9 catches, 134 yards, has 2 touchdowns, a handsome 13.38 ADOT, 4 red zone targets over that stretch as well. He's going to get a lot of Byron Murphy. He's been great in coverage, 63.4 passer rating allowed, but I got a gut feeling he's going to find the end zone for the 3rd straight week. Having Odell Beckham Jr. around, very good thing for him. Oh, and that other guy too, Cooper Kupp, might have heard of him. Certainly helps.
Number one.
All right, last one here, Fun Buns. Let's go back to running back. Here are your options in this decision. Chuba Hubbard against the Atlanta Falcons. Dontrell Hilliard against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Or with DeAndre Swift out, Jamal Williams. Tough matchup, though, on the road at Denver.
It is, but man, I mean, Jamal Williams could literally double the other guys in volume because I think Amir Abdullah is going to be a real deal for the Carolina Panthers in that backfield, and Chuba Hubbard's not going to get to the 20 touches that we saw him get to earlier when CMC was out. I think he's a full-blown platoon. There's no full-blown platoon in Detroit. There is in Tennessee with Dontrell Hilliard. Hilliard's got the better big play upside.
Yep.
But Jamal Williams has a very real chance for 20 touches. And look, Denver's a better team, but they're not great on offense either. And this could be a slog of a game where Denver has like a touchdown lead, but Detroit is not forced to just start chucking early and often because the score is still within reach. And I think that can get Jamal Williams to 20-plus touches. And maybe he sneaks into the end zone. For me, I feel like Jamal Williams' floor is like 10 fantasy points and half PPR, and he could do maybe a little better than that. And I would probably go with the comfort of that over the complete dice rolls of the other guys.
Oh, let's let it ride. Let's let it ride. Chase the river, Evans. We're going to hit that flush.
Dontrell Hilliard.
That's right.
Yeah, that would be my second choice.
Yeah, it could be a December to remember for him. We talked to Teron Davenport recently on the SiriusXM Fantasy Show, favored always 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on the Fantasy Sports Channel. Listen to it. Fun Buns and I make dick jokes for full 2 hours every single day. But we talked to Teron, and, I asked him point blank who was going to have the most fantasy value rest of the season out of the remaining husks of running backs on this roster, and he said it's Hilliard. And he covers the team, so I trust him. And you look at the numbers, last couple of games, 60.8% of the snap share, 82 combined yards. Now against New England, he only played 49.2% of the snap share, but 133 combined yards on 13 touches and a touchdown. He does have that big play ability. This game should be competitive against the Jaguars. I think they're going to try to get him out there in space. He'll do more damage as a receiver. I think the ceiling's a little bit higher compared to Jamal Williams based on the matchup. So, again, slight edge there for me with Dontrell Hilliard. All right, Brandon, before we get out of here, I'm just going to randomly toss out a name. And I want to get your thoughts on this individual, and I want to do a little head-to-head. If Jeff Wilson Jr. gets the start for San Francisco – A, let me start off with this question. He gets Cincinnati on the road. Is he a top 20 running back?
Probably doesn't quite get there for me. I'm looking. I'm quickly trying to get to my rankings here and look at who number 20 is and whether I like him better or not.
All right, well, let's do a head-to-head. And then
my number 20 is Devonta Freeman. I'd rather have Devonta Freeman.
I'd rather have Jeff Wilson Jr. All right, how about Jeff Wilson Jr. or the aforementioned Jamal Williams?
I would rather have Jamal Williams.
I'd rather have Jeff Wilson Jr. What about Jeff Wilson Jr. and a banged-up James Robinson? Does the squeaky wheel get the grease?
I'm starting to come back around to James Robinson getting some love, so I would go James Robinson.
And I would go James Robinson as well. So you got him teetering on the top 20, and I'm telling you right now, straight from Shanahan's mouth, it is trending in a direction. It's going to be Jeff Wilson over Jamichael Hasty, and thank God for that.
Yeah, but man, Jeff Wilson had an opportunity, completely flushed it down the toilet.
He did.
And, you know, he had a knee flare-up in game last week, so what's to say he won't do the same thing this week? I'm a little bit leery about Jeff Wilson. That's why I have him outside my top 20. I get the matchup. I get the San Francisco DNA of being able to run the football. I just think this might be a week, if Jeff Wilson does go, where we do actually see some Jamichael Hasty mixed in a more of a platoon kind of setup. But, yeah, we'll see. I'm kind of trying to stay clear of that San Francisco backfield altogether. But, you know,
look, man, they're going to run the ball. I mean, that's the bottom line. They got the third run heaviest team in the league, according to run percentages tracked at teamrankings.com. And you mentioned the matchup. It's 12th friendliest for fantasy running backs, 129.4 total yards per game, 11 combined touchdowns, 4.04 yards per carry surrendered. And the Bengals do give up a lot of catches to the running back position as well. I still can't get that Najee Harris, that, oh, scintillating, erotic 14-catch game from earlier this season out of my head. So, yeah, look, if Jeff Wilson can guarantee me, I don't know, 60%, 65% of the opportunity share, I think he's a top 20 guy. I think he finds the end zone.
All right, we shall see.
All right, indeed. And that is a wrap on this very disagreeing edition of the Fantasy Fast Track podcast. This is probably the most disagreement and difference That's in opinion good. We've ever had, Brandon. It's refreshing, honestly.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. You know, it's not necessarily fitting with the season of the holidays, but, you know, we got to throw a curveball in every once in a while to keep everybody on their toes.
Yeah, that's right. Screw you, Brandon, in these season's greetings times. Please, if you enjoy this podcast, drop us a rating and a review. Follow Funston on social media, on Twitter at Brandon Funston. Follow me there at Noisy Huevos. And until next time, adios!